Now come and read for us as we hear the word of God. Fiona. Well, let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Loving God, as we come now to hear your word preached for the final time in 2025, we ask that you would speak to us again this morning. Lord, as we are about to look at the story of young Samuel and how you called him in the middle of the night, would you show us that you still call your people today? Holy Spirit, would you help us to see how Samuel's story connects to our own walk with you? And Lord, if there is anyone here this morning who has been sensing your call but hasn't yet responded, give them the courage to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." All this we pray in the loving name of Jesus Christ, who still calls people today. Amen. So I wonder if anyone here has ever had trouble sleeping because you kept hearing a noise. Maybe it's a dripping tap, or someone moving about in another room, or a car alarm outside, that's quite common, isn't it? Or a smoke alarm that the battery needs changed. Or a teenager who stays far too long, up far too long on a video call, talking far too loudly. It's a common one for us. Or a noisy fan in the room. Marion and I, we're so different when it comes to this. Marion likes noise when she's sleeping. She calls it what's the noise? A white noise. Right, I just need silence, right? And we went to Michigan to our sisters a couple of years ago, and it was really hot. It was the middle of the summer, really hot. And so there was this big, massive fan in the room that we were sleeping in our sister's house. It was so noisy. But Marion loved it because she likes that kind of thing. And I'm up all night. And then the very next morning, I come back up, and Marion's brother-in-law, Jake, lovely guy, Jake. Jake's footing about with something at the door, and he says, "Chris, I have to apologise to you about last night. I thought he was going to say the fan was too loud." He said I was meant to put this on as well. Another fan. It was two fans. I said, "Jake, we've got one fan. One. No. We need two." He said, "If you leave the door open, this one will blow." I said, "Jake, I'm going to wake up in the next door neighbour's garden." So there we go. We end up with two fans. Double the noise. Anyway, very frustrating, isn't it, when you're trying to sleep at night and there's a noise that's keeping you awake. And sometimes, you know, I think sometimes you're not even sure if the noise is actually real or if you're imagining it. You know that way, you're like, is that, I'm actually hearing that. Well, this morning we're going to look at a young boy who's exactly that experience, except the noise that he heard, it wasn't a dripping tap or a car alarm. It was the voice of God himself. And this is the calling of Samuel. This is the third in our series of When God Calls, a short series. We've done Moses and Abraham, Samuel today. Our final one will be next week when I'm speaking about living out our calling and how we do that going into the new year. So his name is Samuel, and his story teaches us more today about how God calls people and what it means to live as someone who listens to God's voice. Now, to understand the story properly, we need to know a wee bit of the context. At that time, Israel was in a terrible state spiritually. The opening verse of chapter 3 tells us something really important. It says, "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." The word of the Lord was rare. Think about what that means. It means God wasn't speaking to his people. There were no prophets bringing about new revelation. And why was this happening? Well, the problem wasn't with God. The problem was with the religious leadership. The high priest at that time was a man named Eli. Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were also priests. But these men were corrupt. They were abusing their position, and they were sadly leading people into sin. And Eli knew about this, but he didn't stop them. He did challenge them, but he didn't remove them from office. Eli honoured his sons more than he honoured God. So God had already told Eli that judgment was coming and that his sons would both die on the same day. And it is in this really dark context of religious corruption and spiritual darkness that we meet young Samuel. And Samuel is completely different from Eli's sons. Verse 1 says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli." So Samuel was just a boy. He was already serving in the house of the Lord and already faithful in small things. And this is where his story really begins, because being faithful in small things is exactly what God is looking for. You see, Samuel's whole life had been remarkable from the very start. His mother Hannah had been barren, and she'd prayed desperately for a child. Hannah made a vow to God that if he gave her a son, she would dedicate him to the Lord's service. God answered her prayer, and Samuel was born. And true to her word, as soon as Samuel was weaned, Hannah brought him to the temple and left him there to serve under Eli. Can you imagine that? A wee boy, separated from his mother grown up in a temple, serving God under the guidance of this old priest. But Samuel was faithful. He did what he was called to do. He served and he listened. And then one night, everything changed. Verse 2 says, one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. So it's late at night, and both Eli and Samuel are in their beds. And then Samuel hears a voice calling his name, Samuel, Samuel. So what does Samuel do? He immediately thinks it's Eli. And he gets up, he runs to Eli, he says, here I am, you called me. But Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. So Samuel goes back to bed. But then it all happens again. Verse 6, Samuel. And again Samuel gets up and runs to Eli, here I am, you called me. And again Eli says, I did not call you, my son. Go back and lie down. Now look at verse 7. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. It says there that Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, but not in the way that he didn't know about God. Samuel had grown up in the temple. Of course he knew about God. He knew all the rituals, the sacrifices, all of the prayers. But he didn't yet know God personally. He hadn't had that direct personal encounter with the living God. And that's a really important thing for us to know. We know that. You can grow up in church. You can know all the Bible stories. You can even be involved in ministry. But still not yet know the Lord personal in a personal, intimate way. That was Samuel. He was faithful, he was serving, but not yet personally recognizing God's voice. So when God calls him, Samuel doesn't recognize it. He thinks it's Eli. But then it happens a third time. Verse 8 says, Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Finally, Eli understood what was happening, that it was God speaking to this young boy. And you know, to Eli's credit, he gives Samuel some really good advice. It says in verse 9, so Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. If he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. You know, this is a really beautiful part of the story because Eli could have been a wee bit jealous, a wee bit resentful that God was speaking to Samuel instead of speaking to him. But instead, he helped Samuel to respond properly. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And you know, that's the attitude we all need. Not listen, Lord, for your servant is speaking. Or a common one for me is, here's my plan, God. Please agree with it and bless it. You know, I always say the part of the Lord's Prayer that we pray, thy will be done, thy will be done. That's a frightening prayer. And I've always said in my own life, the reason that's frightening is because most of the time, I want God's will to align with mine, not the other way about. Part of the human condition is I want to be the boss. I want to run the show. And I'm praying so God will agree with me. But thy will be done. A really powerful part of the Lord's Prayer. But instead it says here, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel goes back to bed. And the Lord comes and stands there and calls as before, Samuel, Samuel. And this time, Samuel responds correctly. Says, speak, for your servant is listening. And then God speaks. He gives Samuel a message. And you know, it's not an easy message that he's given him. It's a message of judgment against Eli and his sons. Look at verses 11 to 14. It says, and the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. That's a very heavy message for a young boy to receive. God is going to judge Eli's family, the sins of Eli's sons, and Eli's failure to stop them are going to cause real devastating consequences. And Samuel has to be the one to deliver this message. Can you imagine being in Samuel's position? You're a young boy. You've just had your first direct encounter with God. And the message that he's given you is about judgment against the man who's been like a father to you. No wonder it says in verse 15 that Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. He was afraid. Of course he was afraid. Who would not be afraid in that situation? But Eli calls him over, and Eli, to his credit again, insists that Samuel tell him everything. Verse 17, "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide anything from me, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel tells Eli everything. He doesn't hold back or soften the message. He speaks the word of the Lord faithfully, even though it's difficult. And look at Eli's response. Verse 18 said, "He is the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." So here Eli accepts it, and he acknowledges that God's right to do whatever he sees fit to do. And then we get this wonderful statement in verse 19. It says, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground." I love that. The Lord was with him as he grew up. And you know, everything Samuel spoke came true. So God confirmed Samuel's ministry by making sure that his words were reliable and true. Then verses 20 and 21, "And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." So Samuel became recognized throughout the entire nation as a true prophet of God because God continued to speak to him. But what does all this story teach us? I wonder what we can learn from Samuel's calling that would apply to our lives today here at Craig Hill Church on the very last Sunday of 2025. Well, firstly, this story shows us that God still speaks. He has not stopped speaking with his people. Now, he doesn't usually speak audibly like he did with Samuel, though I said earlier, he has definitely spoke to Mary, my wife. And as I say, if you get a chance later, please ask. It's a really, really fascinating, interesting story. But he does speak to all of us every single day through his word, through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, through creation, through circumstances, through other people, through that conviction that we get in our heart the Holy Spirit gives us, through our processes that call a minister to a church. Speaking about this recently with Marion, I love the Church of Scotland's processes of how a minister gets called to a church. Phenomenal, because everyone's involved in that. You know, the church elects a nominating committee, the committee go out and find someone by prayer, by discernment. They call someone, they present them to the church then get a chance to vote. It's a tremendous process, and it's such a call. I was just reflecting recently, some of my colleagues, where they've been called, you know, it's the right place. Where I'm called is the right place. Ministers that I've worked with, good ministers I've worked with over so many years, I can now look back at their call and say they were called into these places as well. It's phenomenal. Such a call. We learn a lot about call through the whole process of training for ministry, but it's not until it actually happens you realise what it is. Phenomenal. The question isn't whether God speaks. The question, I think, is whether we are listening. And you know, here's the challenge. We live in a noisy world, especially at this time of year. We see the noise and the stuff that's going on to block us off. You know, we're constantly battered with messages, with notifications, endorphin hits, entertainment, demands on our time and our attention. And how often do we actually create space to hear God's voice? How often do we just sit quietly with the Bible open and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening"? Or I wonder if we are more likely to rush through a quick prayer, give God our to-do list, and then wonder why we don't sense his presence or hear his guidance. Another thing this story teaches is that God often calls the unlikely. We have saw that right through this series of when God calls. We even saw it over Advent with the calling of Mary to be the mother of Jesus. Samuel was just a boy. He wasn't a priest from an important family. He wasn't someone with credentials or connections. He was just a faithful young servant. And yet God used him to bring his word to the nation. This is how God works throughout Scripture. He calls shepherds like David to be kings. He calls murderers like Moses to lead his people out of their bondage. He calls fishermen like Peter and Andrew to be apostles. He calls persecutors like Paul to be missionaries. God loves using ordinary people to do extraordinary things, because when he does, it's clear that the power is not from us, but from him. We spoke about that a lot through the calling of Moses. So if you're sitting here this morning thinking God could never use me, you need to understand something, and that is exactly the kind of person that God loves to use. You are the kind of person that God loves to use. You don't need to be qualified. You just have to be willing. You just need to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Another thing this story teaches us is that responding to God's call often takes courage. Samuel had to deliver a very difficult message to Eli. He was afraid, but he did it anyway. He spoke the word of the Lord faithfully, even though it was very uncomfortable. And that's often what following God requires: courage to do the hard thing, courage to speak the truth in love, courage to step out in faith when we cannot see the whole path ahead. God's call on our lives isn't always comfortable, far from it. It pushes us right out of our comfort zones. It challenges us, and it needs us to trust him when we are absolutely petrified. What is it I always say, that life begins just outside the comfort zone? I heard someone saying recently to us about life begins the other side of fear or something, similar kind of saying. We need to be able to step out. But here's what we also need to remember, that God doesn't call us and then abandon us. I've said it before and I'll say it again, that God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips those that he calls. I love that. He doesn't call the equipped, but he equips those that he calls. And the same God who called Samuel and was with Samuel as he grew up is the exact same God who calls us and promises to always be with us, even to the very end of the age. Samuel was a faithful prophet who heard God's voice and spoke God's word. But Samuel, he was just a human. He was limited. And Samuel eventually died. But we know the one that we follow is not like that. Jesus was not like that at all. Jesus is the word of God made flesh. And through Jesus, we can have access to the Father. We can hear God's voice. And we can have a personal relationship with the living God. And the tremendous news is that we come to God through Jesus just as we are. And because of what Jesus has done on the cross, because of his death and resurrection, the way is open for us to know God personally. And you know, the word of the Lord, it doesn't have to be read in our lives. God always wants to speak to us. He's always wanting to reveal himself to us. All we have to do is come to him through Jesus and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So I wonder this morning, is there a call in your life that you might have been ignoring for a time? Is there something that God's maybe prompting you to do, but you've been making excuses? I'm very good at that. You might be like Samuel that night, before that night in the temple. You might have grown up in church. You know about God, but you might not know him yet personally. Or you might feel there's something that's just blocking you off from knowing him more. Or maybe you've never had that relationship with Jesus and you feel that it's about time that you did. If that is you today, if anyone, if that's today, right now is the time. You can know God. You can have that personal relationship with him that changes absolutely everything. I kind of spoke a wee bit about this at the Christmas Eve family service, you know, and I was encouraging folks. We've got a lot of folks who maybe come to that you know, that are unchurched, and they've, you know, and I spoke to them and I said that, you know, encourage anybody. I said, when I became a Christian much later in life, the absolute best decision I have ever made, never for one minute regretted that decision. You know, all we have to do is come to Jesus and say, "I need you. I cannot do this on my own. I want to follow you." And when you do that, when we surrender our life to Christ, everything changes. Life doesn't suddenly become rosy and get all perfect. We know that life shows up.
but it definitely changes. You become part of God's family, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. It's beautiful. And God begins speaking to you, guiding you, shaping you into the person that He created you to be. It's the person you were always created to be. You know, the word of the Lord doesn't have to be rare, not in our lives, not in our church, not in our community, and not in our broken world. God wants to speak, and He is still calling people today. So let's make the commitment this morning as we finish off 2025. That same commitment that Samuel made all those years ago. Let's say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then let's live as people who truly listen, who create space for God's voice, who respond in obedience when He calls, and who are faithful in small things, and who trust that the same God who called a young boy in the middle of the night so many years ago is still calling people today, and praise God that He is. Amen. Let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a God who speaks. We thank You that even when the word of the Lord seems rare, even when the world around us is noisy and chaotic, You still call Your people. Father, help us to be like Samuel. Help us to create space to hear You. And would You help us to respond when You call? Holy Spirit, speak to us. Would You show us what You're calling us to do and give us the courage to respond? And Lord Jesus, we thank You that through Your death and resurrection, the way is open for us to know God personally. We thank You that we can come boldly into the Father's presence. And we thank You that we can hear His voice and follow Him. All this we pray in the very precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.